Welcome to Semper Reformanda. Boy, I think this is our second or third week. I don't know. We're just flying by the seat of our pants, which I finally looked up what that meant. And it is a flying. It's a literally an aeronautics term. So you're not using the gauges. You're using your feel. So that's often what we're doing.
Flying by feel.
But we are, who knows by now, we're always several weeks in advance, but we are finalizing the leader training, to which as soon as the leaders are trained, we're going to get them into the groups. And as soon as we get the groups done, we're going to launch those groups. And Justin's super excited about everything I'm saying, because that was a big yawn, brother.
Dude, it's mid-afternoon in my
mid-afternoon, man. It's time.
I often have a mid-afternoon cup of coffee, and your boy hadn't had one.
I did.
So
I did. Yeah. I did have, and then I'm keeping it up with some hydration. I've learned water is your friend when you're thinking.
I was scrambling back from meetings to get set up to record this, so didn't have time to
breathe. We know you're a pastor. You're busy. I mean, what do you even do throughout the week, man?
What do pastors even do? Yeah.
Someone asked me literally, what are you going to do? I just went full time. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. I am super thankful for that.
Amen.
Someone literally asked me, what do you do with all your time now? I was like, what time? Please explain it to me. What time are you talking about?
It's a joke just because of, in our church context, there's a guy that's on the staff with me that's stepped into a more full-time role in the church this year. And a few of the people in the congregation, they didn't mean anything by it, but they just asked him, so like, what do you do all week? You know, with like basically kind of wanting to know what his job entailed basically, but it was the way they asked it. So what do you do exactly? And so that's sort of a running joke amongst us as staff guys is like, what do you guys do anyway? You know, like during the week. Anyway, plenty to do.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's like, in all honesty, when the church was a lot smaller, I did have a lot more free time. And now I'm like, no free time.
No, and it's amazing how you don't have to have a church of like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people for it to get quite busy for a small staff quickly. Anyway.
I would say both you and I are both at the size where we can't have more full-time help. And so it's like, you have to do more than you want to do, but you have to do it. Otherwise it doesn't get done. That's kind of where I'm at.
We could do a podcast someday on that, how you want to plan well for growth and put
systems in place. No one wants to hear that.
I'm sure people will be thrilled for
we'll save it for some five pastors who are getting ready to plan a church.
Theocast pastors talk. Here it goes. All right. So let's rein this back in. I think what we want to do, at least to start, as I understand it, is aim to love people who are, for lack of a better way to describe it, transitioning out of pietism.
There's a lot of you that are brand new to Theocast and to Reformed theology.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk directly, maybe humorously, and we hope lovingly to you.
Always. Always lovingly.
And a little bit of humor on the front end. So just track with us and bear with us. And we don't mean any of this personally. But there's a term called cage stage, which exists for good reason, because when people have their eyes open to realities, for example, of pietism and confessionalism and all of these sorts of things, and rest that is ours in Jesus, you have all kinds of feelings about that. And one of the feelings that people often have is a sense, two things. Well, everybody's got to understand this, because this is life changing. Everybody needs to understand this.
Right now. Understand it right now.
Like as in yesterday. And then second, there's almost a sense too of indignation, because it's like, why has nobody ever shown me this before?
Yeah.
And so then you're in this phase where you've been shown something, the toothpaste is out of the tube and you can't get it back in there. You've seen something that you can't unsee. And now literally every time you think about anything spiritual, or every time you open the Bible, or every time you go to a church service, all you, like, your lenses are lenses of pietism and confessionalism and rest and things like this. And so it's just constantly just at the front of your mind, and you feel in all kinds of ways about it. So our word and encouragement to you is, as you're going through this season where you're kind of disoriented and there's a little bit of weightlessness and you're trying to figure out like, what do I do now? One of the things that you don't want to do is tear people up around you, you know, like tear other things to pieces. So be patient, be kind, be gracious, be loving, be humble. But then also you don't want to swing so far on a pendulum. You don't want to be a pendulum swinger where you were way over on one side and now that thing's swinging way over to the other and you overreact in pushing back against something that was bad. And so pietism's bad, but you don't want to push off of that thing so hard that you then cease to be able to speak in biblical terms. For example, don't get to the place where any talk of obedience is you just immediately are, oh, well, that's pietism. Or mm-hmm. any talk of obedience, oh, well, that's legalism. Like we can't talk mm-hmm. like that. You know, Christ is our righteousness, to which we would say, amen, yes, he is. And knowing that Christ is my righteousness, I am now free and at rest and can pursue obedience and good works, not for my own merit, but for the good of my neighbor and for the cause of Christ. So that's where we want to be.
And that's right.
So yeah, let's keep talking about that stuff, John.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, when I transitioned, I was coming. So for those of you that don't know,
is anybody else having like underworld references right now or whatever, like transitioning into like being a lycan or anything like this? Anybody else thinking about this? I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
You know what I love about this podcast?
This is that
it's real, man. This is what like
it's real.
Pre-podcast looks like before
this
we
is
hit
real
record.
Time.
That's
no
right.
Edit. No, hashtag like, no edit. Go.
Look, you Sorry. Joined the team. It's team meeting. So when I came out of fundamentalism,
you were talking
I was
about transitioning.
That's right. I was a fighting fundamentalist. And I never like a lot of the
Good
stuff that fundamentalists were all for. I wasn't for it. I thought it was dumb. But there were parts of it that the attitude of like standing up for what you believe. It was us against the world, right? And if you're not careful, the world will get a hold of you and the world will take you under. And right these days, I'm not so much worried about the world taking us under as I am the self-righteous taking us under. that's
I agree.
A whole other podcast right there. And then I transitioned into I just kind of changed brands of fundamentalism and I became an angry Calvinist is what I became. And then I became an angry lordship Calvinist. And that anger, what I realized is that I was not leading anyone to my side.
Notice the common denominator is right. Anger.
Anger. I was not attracting anyone. A lot of people were even beginning to agree with me, but they wouldn't join me because they in their mind, if I believe what John believes and that's what I become, then I'd rather not believe it, which is sad. Yeah. And I know a lot of you get out into the internet world, you start talking to your friends and family and you're like, I can't believe, and then you put it as whatever it is that you're out there. And I have learned, unfortunately, through my own relationship in my marriage, my wife about lost her mind with me because it was my way or the highway. It's kind of how I presented it. Like, you either believe what I believe or you're an idiot, you're a legalist, you're a pietist, and everything was pietism. You're a pietist.
Yeah.
If she had any opinion about anything, whether I put salt on my pancakes or not, you're a pietist. It's like, yeah, totally. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So you cannot throw pietism on like you do on a pizza with pepperoni. You just kind of just throw it everywhere because you feel like it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You have
so
to be
true.
Careful. It is so true. And we should understand the posture of Christ where Jesus described himself as gentle and lowly. You guys do understand the fruit of the Spirit is meekness and patience and long suffering, right? These are important. I put a tweet out there, I think it was yesterday, that a good friend of mine, I steal everything, just put it out there because it's so good. He said to me, if you're not compromising, if you're not always correcting. And then, you know, my conclusion to that is patience is the fruit of the Spirit, meaning at my church, and Justin, at your church, when people walk in the door, this happens at men's Bible study every week. I'll throw a question out there, and a new guy who's really excited about our church and thinks he knows Reformed theology will spew out his answer. And everybody looks at me like, oh, John's going to correct him. And I don't say a thing.
No.
I was like, anybody else have any other thoughts? And what happens is the whole posture of the group, the guys realize, oh, we're not going to correct him. It's like, no, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. That's why are you going to correct the poor guy?
Oh, we're not.
He's
we're not
talking.
Dropping
the Let
hammer.
Him talk. That's He's right. not teaching heresy. It's just not, you that's know, right. it's like, yeah, that's not really what that means, but we're going to let that go.
Sure. No, because yeah, it's like
the truth is, and I'll end it with this, Justin. I'll send it over to you. It's like what I learned was someone walked over, pulled the hammer out of my hand, put honey in it, and said, "You will attract more people if you use the sweetness of Christ and not try to beat them with the law."
Yeah,
and this is a true saying. It's a secular saying, but it's true. My dad used to say it to me all the time. He said, "Son, people don't know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." And you hear this is of Christ. He's drawing people to them because he cares for them.
Sure.
And you need to understand the goal is to lead them into Christ, not for them to believe. Let me put it this way. The goal is for people to rest in Christ. Mm-hmm. And God's going to do that in his time frame. You just need to be patient and long-suffering with people as they're transitioning.
One of the ways that we talk about it at our church is this. If we're confident that somebody's trusting Christ and not themselves, right, then that's basically the criteria to be a member of the church is you need to be trusting Christ and not something else. And then, yes, we have a confession of faith, and you need to be willing to submit to the doctrine of this congregation. And you're going to walk with us, you know, as we all look to Christ and cling to him. But I encourage, and a number of the other people at the church encourage this as well, when we have people who are newer to the church who just don't even have the categories that we're talking about, they come and they don't even know what even Reformed theology means. And we've had people like this join our church recently. They found us through various means. I mean, some of it is they've just met some of our people in the community and come to church, you know, and they don't have categories for anything. And so for us, we always talk about just slow drip, you know. That's one of the illustrations that we use. You just kind of want to slow drip this stuff in people's minds over the course of time. You want to love them and then slowly give this to them in digestible pieces. And I find that what you want to do, it's not that there are no venues, let's be very, very clear. It's not that there are no venues where we debate. That can happen, but it needs to be understood that that's what we're doing. Like you were even talking about your men's Bible study, John. I mean, that's a larger group setting where like, this is not the time for us to debate the theology.
Right.
We can have a small little hang where we take, you know, a few guys go get a beer, you know, get beers together or whatever, and we're going to talk doctrine. Let's just go at it. That's fine. Right. There's a time and a place for that. But in a general sense, in an ongoing way in the church's life, and in an ongoing way in your life with other people, you want to love people and then give them this little digestible pieces at a time. Mm-hmm. You want to lovingly point out where there's confusion. And what you want to do is help them see, not that they're stupid, but you want to help them see how they're being robbed of peace and rest.
That's right.
And how Christ has done something for them that's far greater than they even realize. So really what you want to do is help them see the greatness of Christ and the sufficiency of his work for them. And
that's right.
The only time, I'll just say this, the only time that I would get more defensive and have more of an edgy posture in being super clear on Christ and the gospel is when somebody is saying something that quite literally undermines sola fide, you know, faith alone. It directly undermines the sufficiency of Christ to save sinners. Okay, now we're getting into kind of a Galatians type situation where people are adding stuff to the gospel or people are saying things that is just wrecking everybody's assurance in the room. That's when I'm probably going to step up and say, okay, no, here's what's going on. But but other than that, we just want to continue to love people who are trusting Christ and point them to this. And like John said, honey is better than a hammer when we're talking to other Christians.
That's
right. And we're trying to help them taste and see that this is good.
That's right. Yeah, the hammer's effective when maybe you're breaking down someone's, you know, self-righteousness that they think God is good with them. You know, take the hammer of the law. That's no problem. Hey,
hammer of the law, not the hammer of the gospel.
That's right. Yeah. Come on. Thank you, Justin. We were talking about this before we got started.
Come on.
It's like the gospel is sweet. The gospel is good news. The gospel should be something that's light. And yet somehow we turn it into something that's dark and damaging. It's like, whoa.
Or scary. Or like we beat people up with the gospel. And it's right.
Don't do that.
No, the law does not work.
So going forward, this is kind of a little bit of a training session. Two things. Those of you that are part of Semper Reformanda, we should be the ones who are gently leading people along, not only in the Facebook group, but also on our online and local groups. You're going to get people who come in and are very zealous, and they think they understand, but they aren't going to understand. I literally have someone who's a member in my church that was new to Theocast. It was brand new, and they blew up the whole Theocast atmosphere. And they're a gentle, great church member, but they took it took time. It takes time with people. Justin and I can explain to you that we did not come to these conclusions over a one night of coffee with somebody who introduced it to us.
No way.
It was painful. It was long.
It was, yeah. I mean, even if the kind of big shift moment happens pretty quickly, it's years in the making in God's providence, right? I mean, like the things that you're reading and wrestling with and your own constitution and frame and how that factors into it. And so the Lord's in control of this, and he's going to accomplish his work in his people. Mm-hmm. And we're just instruments, you know, that he uses. And no, I do agree. I mean, my simple exhortations to people I give are like when they're encountering this shift, it's like, all right, first of all, calm down. Secondly, trust Christ. Okay, we're good. All right, good. That's sort of like the most simple things. Now, love other people and pursue obedience. Like that's it. Now, the other thing I would say to your point a moment ago, John, that we're talking to the Semper Reformanda crowd and how we want to lead well, like even in the Facebook group and things like that. I agree. And I think that what would be awesome is if the general perspective of other people that are not a part of Semper Reformanda, that maybe are on the Theocast Facebook group, if they were to know who the people are that comprise SR, it's like, man, those people just like ooze grace and charity and humility. Like that's the goal because we all say this, we're a bunch of sin-sick wretches who understand nothing on our own. I mean, we believe 1 Corinthians 2, it's in the Bible, that these things are spiritually discerned and we don't discern them with human wisdom. So we ought not act like if people would just get their heads out of their backsides that they would see this. It's like, well, there are better ways to go about conveying this.
Like someone recently asked Sinclair Ferguson what his thoughts are on Joel Osteen. And look, if someone's asking Sinclair Ferguson, if they know what the man stands for, they know he doesn't agree with. So what does Sinclair Ferguson do? He smiles and says, he's got a great smile.
Yeah.
It's like the point of it is that we have to be careful that even when recently, I did a episode of Ask Theocast on is the woke church another gospel, or BLM another gospel, whatever. And these were guys who were going pretty heavy after Chandler and Platt. And I, in the Facebook group, I have seen people call John MacArthur a heretic. I've seen them call John Piper a heretic or a false gospel. And I'm like, look, I think that it's better for us to clarify what we are for and be sure that we spend our time building a solid foundation so that people can see one and one and go, wait a minute, this one is clear. This one's confusing. And I think we also have to reserve the word heretic for actual heretics and not be, I think it's foolish and unwise and I think damaging. And it causes me not to want to engage with people who quickly throw that word out, because I'm like, it's like when someone calls me an antinomian, like you don't even know what that word means. So I can't even engage with you in a logical conversation because you're using titles you don't even understand. So no, when someone says that person's a heretic, I go, okay, you and I can't have a conversation because you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you don't know what that word means. You don't know how it's been used historically.
No.
And yeah, you need to be very careful and thoughtful with using terms like that.
Arius was a heretic.
Yeah. I mean, he's denying the deity of Christ.
That's right.
I mean, so that's clearly, I mean, that stands against the flow of the entire history of Orthodox Christianity and even just the creeds that were hammered out in the early centuries of the church. And yeah, it completely different conversation that we're having there. Yeah. I think, charity, thoughtfulness, absolutely are required of us. I had several thoughts while you were riffing there, John. I've lost them. I trust that means they weren't very profound. And so I think we've communicated the gist of what we want to communicate here for our people.
Especially when these groups are about ready to get started.
Yeah.
We need these groups to be a safe haven where people can come and just have messy diapers. You know what I mean? Theologically speaking.
And it's like, I understand that to be a faithful theologian, I'm going to use that word, you need to define yourself both in terms of what you are affirming and denying. I understand that. And at the same time, if you are taking a posture where you are basically only defining yourself by what you're against and what you hate, it's just not a very winsome posture. It's kind of like, you know, here's a quick way to alienate people and make everybody angry with you is to do that. I trust none of us want to do that. And so we want to be able to not only say, here are things that are wrong, but we want to be able to pull people onto, like we always say, a better foundation, which is the solid rock of Christ, and see, friend, how good this is, should be our posture. Like, let me tell you about this and how wonderful it is. And the differences, I trust, are going to become more clear when you see what I really mean when I say that Christ is enough for you.
That's right.
And when I lovingly point out how you maybe in subtle ways are trusting in stuff that isn't Christ.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. I think one last illustration I will give, it's like you see someone who's eating some putrefied, grotesque food, but that's
all
their diet, right? If that's their diet, that's all they know. You could walk over to them and say, how dare you eat that? That is disgusting. And all you're going to do is make them feel horrible.
Sure.
Make them feel like they're nothing and dumb and stupid versus walking over and saying, hey, I see that you're eating this. Have you ever tasted this? Mm-hmm. And you hand them something they've never tasted before and they taste it and they see that it's good.
Yeah.
And then they go, what is this? And you get to explain to them what is better. And ultimately, I believe it's true when Paul says the kindness of God is meant to lead people to repentance, where they'll leave the putrefaction behind and walk towards Christ with gentleness and meekness.
That's right.
Now, just to be clear, there are times for rebuking, because Galatians 6 says when someone goes back to that, we who are spiritual are to go there and restore them. So listen, I get that there are moments of confrontation. Please don't think we're not
clear.
Saying that.
I think we've been clear about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else unless you do.
I mean, not that's necessary to say. I think we've been on here for a minute.
Yeah. So. Well, just so you know, Justin and I are relying on all of you. If you have ideas, concerns, updates, send them our way. We are wanting to build this community with you. We are but pastors who are trying to help as many people as we can. We are not professionals. We have no idea what we're doing. We know how to hit record and send it to somebody to edit. Thank God for Michael and Andrew. We'll give them applause right now. Yay! without our team, we would not be able to do this. And you are a part of our team. Hey, give us your ideas. App should be out soon. We just want to help people rest in Christ. You're on the team to do that now. We'll see you next week.